And so, church, I know that's a lot of effort, a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of work. And but my, it's beautiful. I love it. And it's always exciting to see that when you come back to a church and see, and a lot of new faces as well. And that's always a blessing to see the building, maybe some changes or additions, and then new people in the pews as well. And it's always a blessing, too, to see the people that were there the last time. The faithful people that have just stayed, and so it's all needed. Faithful people who were here for the years and years before, but then the new blood, the new people, that brings excitement to the church. And so thank you for what you're doing for the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Taylor, for the chance to be here with you this week. I was reminded again this morning of what I realized in college. Your pastor is a very talented man. I mean, he can sing, he can preach. That wasn't Sunday school this morning. That was preaching. But boy, what a blessing he is. And then what a blessing to meet his wife and his two daughters last night, and how God's blessed him. And you can tell, the men that were influenced and set under the teaching and preaching of Dr. Dwayne Nichols in San Antonio, Texas. You can tell when they open the Word of God and they teach or preach, it's very evident. They're well-grounded. And one of his friends and my friends, and you support him, is missionary Scotty Rackley in Madagascar. And he's a walking Bible concordance. And I mean, I just say, Scotty, what's that? And he'll tell you the chapter and verse. He knows it. And I have to say this, though. This is something funny about Scotty. Scotty's from Texas, too. But Scotty and Pastor Taylor are different. In that Scotty, this is how he introduces himself. Hi, I'm Scotty. I'm from Texas. I mean, I'm not joking. I mean, I have literally watched that guy. Someone has said you never have to ask a Texan where they're from. They'll always tell you where they're from. We don't even ask. Now, I'm from Illinois, and we're too ashamed to tell people we're from Illinois. And so we're like, I'm from Chicago, I'm really embarrassed. But so Scotty is a big Texas fan, and so he had his house broken into in Madagascar, and we were there that night when that happened. That was a sad thing. And but then, so his landlord went back and redid a bunch of, they had broken into the wall, through the wall and whatever. So the landlord did some things, and the landlord painted his wall, because we have walls around our houses in Madagascar. So, and I walked in. Now, the next time I drove into his yard, I looked around. I said, you got to be kidding me. And Sky didn't even realize it. I said, brother, I said, do you realize that your landlord just painted your property in OU colors? And I am not joking. I mean, maroon or whatever that is, and white. He looked around, said, you're right. And so anyways, I'm from Illinois. I knew nothing about the Red River rivalry until I went to college here. And got introduced to that real fast. And when you're from Illinois, everything's terrible in Illinois. The Cubs are terrible. The Bears are terrible. The White Sox. Everything's horrible. College sports is terrible. So I kind of started, pulling for OU a little bit. Sorry, brother. When you're from Illinois, you got to adopt a team, and say, well, I was in college here. I was born in Iowa, whatever. Hawkeyes, anybody. Michigan's close to us. Anybody, But anyways, so that was a blessing. I do apologize that my family couldn't come. We have five daughters, as he said, and four of them are in school, and the last one's a four-year-old. And my parents, they do enjoy the grandkids, but we're trying to be careful of how many times we just say, hey, Mom and Dad, we're just leaving, all the kids with you, because Dad's pastoring, he's teaching at a Bible college, and they're busy, and they have stuff going on. So we have to do it a couple times, and the girls are in school. They can only miss so many days. And also I had to fly in and out because we have a marriage retreat that we're a part of on Thursday. So by the time you try to fly everybody and whatever, it just had to just be me flying in. And I apologize. We will, Lord willing, be in Oklahoma City again for Thanksgiving and New Year's and next year. We'll try to come by and with the families. You know, I'm realizing that no one wants to see me. I'm really realizing that. Everyone asks, where's Ashley and the girls? You know, it's kind of like when I would come home from college, my mom would be waiting at the end of the driveway and give me a great big hug. And then I got married. And then it was, mom was waiting there, but first it was giving Ashley a great big hug, and then me. And now when we come home, it's the grandkids, and they don't even care about me. It's like, oh, you came too. But anyways, so we will, that's the way it is, but we'll try to come by with them. Just real quickly, we're going to talk about the why of the missions conference this morning. In the next messages, we will talk about the what and the how. But we're going to look at the why, and Pastor Taylor already kind of started us off with the why. And I realize I'm standing in a dangerous place between Baptists and their food, but we'll make it short. We won't be, don't worry, everyone's, oh, is this how long is this going to be? It'll be, we won't get over time. So Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 15 and 16. The horse leech hath two daughters crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things say not, it is enough. The grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. The first thing he said, three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things say not, it is enough. The first thing is the grave. And I'm going to talk for a few minutes this morning about an unquenchable thirst. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've done in our hearts already. Lord, it's been good just to be here. Lord, thank you that on the first day of the week, we're not out playing football, or baseball, or anything else, or golfing, or fishing, or shopping, whatever. Lord, thank you that we get the chance, the opportunity, the privilege. Lord, this is not a have to. This is not a I have to. We get the privilege of coming to your house. And starting the week off by honoring you and worshiping with you with other Christians, Lord. And thank you for what we've already had done in our hearts. Please use us this morning. Use me, Lord, I pray this morning in a special way. I pray that you would fill both speaker and listener with the Holy Spirit and give us something. Change us, Lord, from your word today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What is your food demise? The one or more things that once you start eating it, you can't stop. You have something like that? I have several. Red licorice, chocolate-covered almonds. You know, where do you want to start? You know, potato chips. If there's dip, it's done. Nachos. But, you know, even the Lay's potato chips, they had that slogan, betcha can't eat just one. And our text states that the grave is never satisfied. It never says it's enough. The grave continues to have a need for more death. It is never satisfied. There is a famous saying that says there are two things that are certain in life. And what are they? Death and taxes. And if you live in Illinois, they love the second one. They'll tax you to death in Illinois. Death and taxes. How many people have lived and died in history? The number would be astounding. Some have estimated that over 100 billion people have lived and died on this earth in the history of mankind. We don't know, but that's an estimate. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2 says, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. Why? For that is the end of all men. And the living will lay it to his heart. Now, we know that the grave is not the end. Okay? We know that man is a living soul. We don't just die and that's it. We just, that there's nothing else. No, the Bible speaks about life after death. We know that man, as Pastor Taylor said this morning, we're not ghosts. We're not, my four-year-old calls them ghosts. And not ghosts, but she'll get that right one day. But we don't just float around, you know, like a ghost after death. We go to one of two places. Now, for the child of God, what is death? For the child of God, physical death is just the transition from this life to eternal life in heaven in the very presence of God. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so what is death for the Christian? It is victory. It is resurrection. It is celebration. It is glorification. When we are saved from the power and the penalty, the power, and then one day from the very presence of sin. That's going to happen one day. He justified us. He's sanctifying us. And one day He'll glorify us. One day. And might I say, that is why Christians bury their dead. The hope of it's the blessed hope, it's the resurrection. And I'm astounded to as you go around the world, and I'm not saying you're a heathen if you do, but if you look at the Bible, because sometimes we just do things because it's just what we do. I tell the Malagasy people, don't do things just because that's what we do. Do things because you have a Bible principle or precept or a reason. Historically, God's people have buried their dead. You look at the Bible, you'll never see a child of God in the Bible not burying their dead. And now the heathens cremated their or other things. But we bury the dead because of the hope of the resurrection. And so that's for us, the child of God. Death has been conquered by Jesus Christ. But a very different fate, however, awaits the lost, doesn't it? The Bible tells us in Revelation, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is your name written in the book of life? That's what he talked about in Sunday school. Not is your name on a baptismal record somewhere. Are you a member of a church? Are you this or are you a good person? None of that matters when it comes to salvation. The one thing that matters is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And there is only one way to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that is to be born again. And how are you born again? By faith in the gospel. That's what he talked about. And I'm astounded. I ask people all over Madagascar, we go soul winning, do you know what the gospel is? Because everybody goes to church there. Everybody's religious in Madagascar. Everybody, in fact, they told me, you can't ask people, where do you go to church? You're insinuating that I don't go to church? Do you go to church? Of course I go to church. Now, you see the roads. The churches are filled on Easter and Christmas and whatever. But they're very religious. But I ask them, what is the gospel? They have no clue. They have no clue. None. And so, you must be born again. The world's population first reached 1 billion people around 1800. Now, think about that. That means it took us about 4,000 years. Now, we know we had Noah's flood. But from what we know, it took us 4,000 years to get to 1 billion people. That number doubled to 2 billion by around 1900. And the world's current population in 2023 is over 8 billion people. Think about that. Over 150,000 people die every day in this world. Every day that happens. Now, we need to think about that. We need to think about the day in which we're living. The grave is waiting for 8 billion people. The souls of 8 billion people hang in the balance. Can I say this? That's why we're serious about church. That's why we're serious about God's business and God's work. That's why we take the time and the money to renovate a building so we can have church services together. That's why we give invitations after we preach. That's why we go door-to-door soul winning. That's why we run buses or vans. That's why we have other ministries. That's why we are trying to use every available tool we have to reach the souls of the lost. Because the souls of 8 billion people hang in the balance, and some of them are right here in Midwest City. And it's up to you to reach them with the gospel of Christ. If you don't, who will? That's why we have a missions conference. That's why we give money to missions. That's why we send missionaries out into the world. Why? Because of that 8 billion people, only 330 million or so live in the U.S. And God has commanded us to reach the whole world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why. That's why. Because what we're doing is literally affecting life and death, the eternity of people in this world. Now, I just want to say this. Thank God. You ought to thank God that you have a pastor with a vision to reach people in the lost, to reach people in his town, his neighborhood. And I was talking last night, the vision he has to do more to see people saved. You ought to thank God. You ought not criticize that. You ought not oppose that. You ought not get in his way. You ought to get behind him. Amen. He didn't ask me to say this. You ought to get behind him and say, Pastor, we're with you. We're with you. We want to see people reached as well. Amen. I can amen myself if I need to this morning. But I want to say a couple things will be done. Number one, I want you to see this morning that Satan is never satisfied. Never satisfied. Satan will never say it's enough. Ever. Death is universal. People die. Animals die. My kids bawled when their guinea pigs died. They were little. Those girls were 7, 5, and 3, and they had guinea pigs, and they died. Great big old tears came down their faces. They realized that even animals die. Nothing lives forever. Plants die. Civilizations die. But can you imagine a world without death? There was a time in this world when there was no death. You say, when was that? That was before sin. Because sin brought death. Sin brought suffering, evil, and death into the world. Satan caused the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. Satan is the author of sin. Listen, and every sorrow that comes with it. Don't blame God for the suffering and the evil and the sorrow and the sickness and the tragedies in this world. God is not the author of that, friend. Satan is. A lot of French people are atheists. You can talk to them, why? Well, if there's a God, then why? Why? No, 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 no. That's not God's doing. God created a perfect world. Satan brought sin into this world. And it changed it forever. Satan plunged mankind under the power of sin. And listen, he actively works to keep the lost in this world in darkness. Listen to this. The Apostle Paul said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to who? To them that are lost. But listen to this. In whom the God of this world, who is that? Satan, hath blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. What does that mean? That means Satan is actively trying to keep those that are lost in the darkness of sin. It could be religion, like he talked about. It could be the occult, like he talked about. It could be anything, but he is trying whatever he can do to snuff out the light so it doesn't reach them. Satan used Nimrod and others to build the Tower of Babel and found the beginning of every false religion in this world. It all goes back to Babel. Satan tried to prevent the coming of the Messiah multiple times in history. Satan works to oppose the preaching of the gospel and the work of Christ. Satan will deceive many into following the Antichrist during the tribulation. He'll be bound for 1,000 years. And what will he do? When he's released, he will go out, don't miss that, and what? Deceive the nations. That means he's never satisfied. He is never, the Bible calls him a roaring lion. A roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have who? You. That he may sift you as wheat. Satan seeks. Satan desires. Satan wants to devour. Satan wants to deceive the nations. And Satan wants to destroy my life and yours. He's never satisfied. But I want you to see, secondly, that the Son is never satisfied. I want you to go really quickly with me to Luke chapter 14 and get the heart of Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God the Son, God in the flesh. He's giving a parable. He's teaching about his heart for souls, and it's about the invitation to a great supper. It's a picture of salvation. And they went out and they invited people to the supper, and they gave excuses why they couldn't come. It's not couldn't come, wouldn't come. That's what it is. But look at what his response in verse 22. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Now, what had happened? He said, go give the invitation to someone else. And they did, and people came, but there was still room. And he said, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. That's the heart of Christ. He wants this building filled. He wants you to have to build a new building, not for glory for us. He wants you to have to build a new building. Why? So you can fill that for him. That's the heart of Christ. Never enough. Never enough. He wants one more soul to be saved. The Bible says the thief cometh not, Jesus said, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus tasted death for every man. The heart of Jesus Christ is the salvation of every individual who was ever born. Might I just say this? The Bible, my Bible, and your Bible knows nothing of a limited atonement, where the blood of Jesus Christ was only shed for the chosen few. Our Bible teaches an unlimited atonement. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains. Quickly, number three, the Spirit is never satisfied. The Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in John chapter 16, verses 7 through 9, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, Jesus said to his disciples, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, what will the Holy Spirit do when he comes? And when he has come, listen, he will get the whole congregation worked up, and they'll roll on the floor and go crazy and start babbling and saying, I'm filled and I'm filled. No, that's not what he does. Never draws attention to himself. Never brings chaos and confusion. Not what your Bible teaches. And when he is come, he will what? Reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they believe not on me. Listen, friend, any one sin will take you to hell. But there is only one sin that will condemn us to hell. One. And that is the sin of not believing in Jesus Christ. You can be a murderer and go to heaven if you choose to repent and believe in Christ. You can be the most vile sinner, and if you will repent of your sin and turn to Jesus Christ and receive his gift of salvation, you can go to heaven and will go to heaven. But no matter how good you are, if you do not believe on Christ, that is the one sin that will take you to hell. And so what does the Holy Spirit do? He convicts us of our sin and of our need to believe on Christ. Now, I was saved, I forget, did you say 9 years old? Six, I was saved at 12. You know, thank God for the stories of those who were saved later in life. You know, God saved me from this and that, you know. But you know, when I was a kid, I never had done drugs or drunk alcohol, or, you know, you're a kid, right? But you know what? The Holy Spirit, what does he do? He convicts you of the sin of being lost, of not having believed on Christ. And he draws you to Christ. And I want you to look quickly at the last chapter in your Bible, Revelation chapter 22, one of the last verses in this entire Bible, verse 17. So when the Holy Spirit is come, God gave the Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus did in his current ministry 2,000 years ago. Doesn't mean that he just existed then. No, he had a different ministry in the Old Testament times. But he came in a different ministry to the church. That's been 2,000 years ago. But what does the one, verse 17 say? And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life. That's the heart of the Holy Spirit. One of the last verses in the entire Bible, and he's still saying, just one more. Just one more come. Just whosoever will, until the last time. Would you come? That's the heart. Never satisfied. And in closing, if Satan is never satisfied, if Jesus Christ is never satisfied, if the Holy Spirit is ever satisfied, then what did you see in that last verse? And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Then the saints of God, the servants of God, the church of Jesus Christ should never be satisfied. Can I tell you, that's our problem. We're okay with it. And we would never say that. We would never say, you know, I'm okay with people going to hell. We never would say that. But we say it by our actions. We say it by our apathy. We say it by our lack of concern for the lost people in this world. We say it by saying, I'm too busy. I don't have time. That's not my gift. I'm not called. Come on. We say it by arguing with the Holy Spirit. I'm too busy. I'm in a hurry. Well, we would never say it. But do we really live like it? Jesus tried to get his disciples to share that same urgency. He said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. That's the urgency. Now, I come from Illinois. I'm telling you what, we're a rural Indiana, the three I's. Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa drive the price of corn. It does not matter. And there's a lot of corn planted in other areas in the U.S. It does not matter what happens anywhere else. Price of corn is determined by Indiana, Iowa, Illinois. Cornfields. And what's amazing to me is happening now. Is when the time comes, thousands of acres of fields. And in a matter of just a couple of weeks, done. Done. Once they start, why? It's harvest. In fact, there's a guy in our church that works in the agriculture business. And I asked him, I said, you playing basketball on Sunday night for church? He said, no, not right now. I said, why? He said, it's the harvest. Too busy. Too busy. Too busy. Urgency. You know, and that's okay. It should be like that. My grandpa was a farmer. My neighbors are farmers. Make your living that way? That's urgency, friend. That's okay to be urgent about making a living. Can I say something? When's the last time we've been that urgent about his harvest? I'm going to say this. I get it. I love sports. I do. I love it. When the Cubs won the World Series, it was crazy. It was 5 million people trampled through the mud and waded in the mud and whatever. Madagascar, the soccer team, went to the African World Cup, whatever, and they they took him 12 hours to get from the Chicago, from the airport to the downtown, just a few miles. Thousands of people just wanted to. I had kids in my church. I shook his hand. I gave him a high five. He touched my hand. And I'm okay. I'm not trying to pour water. But I'm going to tell you this. Maybe this is dangerous ground, but heaven help us if we are more enthusiastic about the Red River rivalry. Come on. Or the Dallas Cowboys, or the Chicago Bears, or whoever are doing and will do today. I'm one of those, I am one of those fanatics, right? I mean, when the Cubs in the playoffs, I'm the guy that's down on my knees in front of the TV. I mean, but the neighbors could hear me. Okay, so I'm not against being a fan. But heaven help us if we're more into that than soul winning. If we're more excited, we went to a Cubs game this year. It had been 4 years since we went to the family. I dropped $50 on a ticket to go see the Cubs lose, as usual. I'm not against that. We hadn't gone in 4 years. Took the kids. The older ones, went with dad and mom. We had 20 of us go as a group. Spent gas, got food, paid for the tickets. And then when it comes to tithes and offerings and missions giving, and all we need, what God needs for God's work, it's like killing us to get it out of us. We can spend hours on everything else, but it's like pulling teeth to get people involved in the Lord's harvest. And maybe I'm on dangerous ground. I'm not the pastor, I'm the visiting missionary. But man, I tell you what, Jesus said about John the Baptist, he was a burning and a shining light. You ain't gonna shine, friend, if you're not burning. Candle never shines if it's not burning. Are you a burning and shining light? Are we satisfied? Do we sit back and, oh yeah, no. Satan's never satisfied. Jesus is never satisfied. The Spirit's never, heaven's never satisfied. There's joy in heaven. Let me tell you something. In heaven, and we're excited about what happened yesterday, we were either, you know, in the depths of despair or at the height of whatever, what happened yesterday, and heaven didn't care one bit. Not one bit. I'm going to tell you what will make heaven excited is if one person gets saved today. That will get heaven's attention, friend. Heaven help us. An unquenchable thirst. I hope we have it. I hope we have it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with us this morning. Lord, I know I've tried to preach your word and the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm guilty. Lord, I'm guilty. I'm preaching to myself this morning. I can get excited about other things. I can have time for other things. Be more enthusiastic about other things. Lord, help me to be living for your harvest. Help me to lift up my eyes. Help me to see the urgency. Help me to see the need. Lord, help me to be never satisfied. And may that be said of every one of us in this room this morning. Pastor Taylor.
Thanks again for listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages. We hope you got something from this message.